It really doesn't have a lot of power. It doesn't have a lot of resources. So to make this the first step for the Congress was, I thought, not only bad from an ethical point of view, but dumb from a public relations point of view.
I was going to say stupid as opposed right. to damn dumb because right. because my feeling about this, for whatever it's worth, not much, is that it gave Trump an opportunity to look
that's right.
presidential.
And he's already been acting presidential, even though he's not sworn in yet, apparently, in terms of dealing with issues across the globe, not only just when it comes to ethics. I think it's smart move by the president-elect. I thought it was a dumb move by the Congress to have that the first thing out of the box. I mean, the whole sort of theory that this is going to be a government run by billionaires and conservatives, the Trump administration's unwillingness to disclose tax returns and to be basically transparent. I mean, that fed right into that sort of narrative by saying, on top of it, we're going to take the relatively weak watchdog and make it a lapdog. I thought that was a dumb move, and it's smart on the president-elect's part to deal with it.
And of course, Blair, this whole business of saying, okay, the first move we're going to make is going to be to help ourselves in case, somebody's got something on us and can hurt us. These people are walking around Washington. Look, I work there. I know a little bit about it. It just defies the imagination about how politicians rip off the system.
And it is, I think, a cautionary tale for this new Congress that they are so full of themselves, that they believe that they can do anything. And it's always hubris that gets politicians. It's
Absolutely.
Always this whole thing that, somehow we've gamed this, we figured out the system in such a way that we can game it. And as I mentioned before, I just thought it was not only bad on the ethics side, they should be working to strengthen that ethics watchdog, not weaken it.
I want to raise some other issues with you, Blair, if I may. In New York, Governor Cuomo has decided to forego delivering a State of the State address to the legislature instead of making several regional addresses. That move has raised the ire of some lawmakers. In other words, these guys are really ticked off at each other now. The governor and the legislature are really at holy war.
Yeah, I mean, this comes on the heels of the governor basically torpedoing lawmakers' pay raise. And so you combine the two where he not only says, well, you're not going to get a pay raise. You haven't had one in 20 years. You're not going to get another one, even though they had sort of engineered the system to make that happen. And then on top of it, to walk away from the sort of ceremonial State of the State address that's been given at the Capitol complex, I think just sort of underscores the sort of toxic relationship between the two branches. I mean, it's pretty clear that the governor doesn't want to be there because he's afraid of, the kind of blowback he may get from the rank-and-file lawmakers. I mean, last year, there was a lawmaker that got up and challenged him verbally.
Remember that.
And, could have been a lot more this time.
Well, I think so. I want to just announce to everybody, this message has just come to you courtesy of the cracked engineering staff here at WAMC. I mean, that's crack. I'm sorry. While we are working to patch through our phones for this Vox Pop, those interested in having their questions answered, please email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Let me repeat that. voxpop@wamc.org. Again, that is voxpop@wamc.org. And also coming out of Congress today, Republican Paul Ryan was easily elected, as the Speaker of the House, something we expected. Although yesterday, when these guys got up there and started acting strangely and deciding to be a little bit, helpful to themselves about their ethics issues, Ryan said, don't do it.
That's right.
And
Ryan,
they overrode him.
That's right. I mean, it's two things. One, it sort of shows where his orientation is. He actually got it. That this not only would be bad for ethics, but bad for them. But it also underscores his difficulty in sort of hurting the cats known as the House Republicans. I mean, this is what got Boehner into trouble. He couldn't really corral all those members of the conference. And it looks like Ryan's going to have the same kind of problems. And this could be a big issue as things go forward, where a Trump administration might be willing to do things that are populist in nature, but not necessarily conservative, could exacerbate fractures within the House Republican Conference, where you have this sort of ideological mix of conservatives and populists.
Extremely well said, actually. And Governor Cuomo has made news today by announcing the plan to offer free tuition at New York public colleges to eligible New Yorkers. I have to tell you, I'm old now, but I've been for years saying when I went to Hunter College, it was for free. It was great. It was really terrific. And City College was a place where more Nobel Prize winners, I think, than Harvard. I'm not exactly sure, but I think that's right. The Democrat unveiled his plans this morning at LaGuardia Community College in Queens alongside Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont. Cuomo's plan would provide free tuition at State University of New York or City University of New York colleges, including two-year community colleges for residents whose families earn less than $125,000 a year. So that's quite a thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I mean, you know, if you believe in the 21st century that you're going to have an economy that where workers are highly skilled and where a democracy, which increasingly has more complex policy options that it has to address, you're going to want to have people that know more about how the society works. And in an era of seemingly unrelenting fake news, for people to be able to have the skills to sort of deal with that, you know, to a large extent, it's going to come as a result of education. And so the governor's proposal to make it free for low, moderate, and to some extent middle-income families is a good thing. Now, again, you know, right now all we know is what we've heard. We haven't seen any bill language yet. And, you know, as somebody who's been around the Capitol for a while, what really matters is what the bills actually say. But it's certainly the kind of thing that my organization is applauding.
Well, your organization, New York Public Interest Research Group, has a lot of students as its members. I heard a rumor, I don't remember where, but that Cuomo, the governor, was thinking about merging SUNY and CUNY into a single unit. Have you picked any of that up on your hustings?
Well, I don't know about a single unit, but there have been discussions. I mean, the governor last year in his budget proposal talked about merging sort of the back office administrative work of both of the university centers. And there's certainly been talk for years and certainly during this Cuomo administration about seeing if there is economy as a scales, particularly for the four-year public colleges and universities within the SUNY University system. The argument going that none of the other localities run their own four-year colleges and universities, but they do run community colleges. And in the same way, that's the way New York City should play out. Whether or not that's in its package this year, we don't know.
The one thing, we have to take a break, but before we do, the one thing is that here's Cuomo doing what is a pretty good thing,
yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, making this historic announcement with Bernie Sanders at his side. And yet, you know, he has been so Machiavellian up until now that people say, what's he up to? So anyway, we'll take a break and we'll come back. You can email us. You can email us. They give me signals.
Erie Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings. HanyonBakery.com. Amherst Copy and Design Works, offering printing and copying, sign-making and design services, from booklets to stationery and labels to lawn signs, in downtown Amherst, Massachusetts. AmherstCopy.com. Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Custom-designed panelized house kits featuring eco-friendly, passive, and solar design elements. Noble-home.net. New England Hydroponics, the indoor gardening experts. Offering a full selection of hydroponics, organic soils, and indoor gardening equipment. Southampton and Framingham, Massachusetts. Online at nehydro.com. And the Nature Conservancy's Adirondack Chapter. Working to protect ecologically important lands and waters of the Adirondacks for nature and people. nature.org/Adirondacks.
We're back. I'm here with Blair Horner from the New York Public Interest Research Group. We're talking about things political. While the phones are not quite working the way they usually do, you are certainly welcome to send us an email at voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org, just like you do in the mornings, you know, when we have the panel on. So, and then we'll read them and we'll react to them and we'll be all very, very happy. You should see all the engineers in the engineering room. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There are about 10 people back there. Amazing, amazing. Everybody's scurrying.
It's like they're having a party, though. Yeah. Maybe we should be in the other room.
Yeah, so everybody, okay. 1-800-348.
No, we got to do the email.
Oh, yeah, that's right. 1-800. That's wrong. Okay, you got to email us at VoxPop.
I'm here to help, Alan.
VoxPop@WAMC.org. I'm not a young man. Okay, so you email us at VoxPop@WAMC.org. Okay, so now let's talk a little bit about Cuomo, and I want to talk a little bit about Cuomo and the new president, the incoming president. He has to make up his mind where he's going to be. Is he going to be a critic, or is he going to try to get along? Immediately after Trump won, Cuomo announced, much to my dismay, that he was going to try to get along with Trump. Then I think that didn't play well, and he turned around and started to talk about how he was going to hold the guy accountable. So what do you make of all that?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's the Democrats are zigzagging. On the one hand, they want to be able. I mean, they want to get things done. And he's the president. The president-elect is from New York, so unlike many other presidents, or certainly Republican presidents, he knows what a mass transit system looks like. He may not have ever been on the subway, but he knows that you have to have mass transit to make a big city work. So, in many ways, from the Democrats' perspective, having someone like Trump as president is somebody that they could deal with. On the other hand, there's a very strong sort of feeling. That progressives want to be able to sort of organize in a way to sort of resist the Trump administration in terms of the policies as they see them.
Okay, now Ray Graff, who is doing wonderful work for us, just said he made a motion with his arms, sort of like you're breaking a big pretzel.
Yeah.
He says, okay, break and go in back into the regular Vox
yes,
Pop room.
Yes, your table is ready now.
Finally.
That could be
a little exit music.
Have you ever heard of a heavy FLW?
Listen, man,
that's a famous last word. Okay, we're going now, and we'll see you back on the other side in about a second, okay?
Thank you.
WAMC comes from Edgar Bostic, Certified Financial Planner, Private Financial Design, South Hadley. Your life, your plan, your portfolio. PrivateFinancialDesign.com. Securities through Cambridge Investment Research, member FINRA and SIPC. And Vermont Coffee Company, offering slow-roasted organic coffee in the brown paper bag at local grocery stores. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends. Support for WAMC comes from Sheehy Opticians, Albany, New York. Providing eyeglasses, contact lenses, and eye exams since 1953, now accepting appointments for patients with flexible health spending accounts. Shehy Opticians.com. Dr. Lucy Chapik, Latham, New York. Plastic surgery dedicated to cosmetic surgery, laser treatments, and minimally invasive facial rejuvenation. Since 1996, a surgeon's hands, a woman's touch. 518-786-1700. And Elements Hot Tub Spa, downtown Amherst, Massachusetts. Offering hot tubs in 5 indoor or outdoor private rooms, plus a team of massage therapists for individuals and couples. ElementsHotTubSpa.com for gift certificates and photo gallery.
Hey, it's me, Alan, and we're back here. We're back here doing our thing. We're very delighted to be with you. And Blair Horner is with us from NYPIRG. Kerry wrote to us and said, hey, local tourism folks want this, being Uber and Lyft going upstate in the Hudson Valley. Will it make it through or be riddled with regulations? And it just They want our thoughts. That's what he says. Can you explain what's going on with all this stuff?
Yeah, for downstaters, people in the New York City area, for example, they are used to having the access to Uber, Lyft, other ride-sharing sort of systems to get around. Sometimes it can be a little more expensive than a cab, but it can be certainly more convenient because you typically communicate with an Uber car, for example, electronically through your phone, and they'll pick you up at your door and take you wherever you want to go. So it's very convenient. A lot of consumers like having that, and it's prohibited in upstate New York.
Why?
They haven't passed a law allowing it.
Why haven't they passed that law?
Well, the fight, as far as I can tell, again, this is not one of the issues I'm involved in. The fight, as far as I can tell, is basically the cab drivers, people who drive cabs now, are subject to minimum insurance coverage standards, minimum handicap accessibility standards, and none of those things apply to Uber. And so the argument is that for those cab services, that they would be put at a competitive disadvantage, and it's not fair to them. Here they are. They went through all these rigmaroles to get the coverage and to meet all the various standards. Uber doesn't have to do that, and so they'll put them out of business. And so that the conflict appears to be largely a combination of it's almost like the fight over allowing wine in supermarkets, where the local alcohol, the mom and pop alcohol stores don't want to, are a concern if the supermarket starts selling wine that they could be put out of business. Same kind of thing here. We have many, particularly upstate, mom and pop sort of level cab systems, which view Uber as a threat.
Have you taken many cab rides in Albany?
I have occasionally. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I have found they're not always of the highest quality.
They're not medallion level cabs that you might find in the city of New York.
Right. So anyway, my boy got into a cab right now and said, "Do you know my father, Alan Shartak?" I said, "I hate him." So
I guess he knows you.
I guess he knew who I was.
But I think that they'll do something on Uber. The question really will be, and your email alluded to that, the riddled with regulations thing.
Yeah.
I mean, how that plays out, I think, is really where this is going. I think it'll happen if Uber can come to an agreement on, like, the kinds of minimum liability coverage standards that should be beyond what you and I have when we drive our cars.
Yeah, but you know all about lobbying, Blair, of all things. And obviously, somebody's got that paw out somewhere and is sort of pushing against it as well as for it. We know the taxi, as you said, the taxi cab companies don't like it. By the way, you can call 1-800-348-2551. That's what I'm told by our cracked engineering staff, 1-800-348-2551. And we'll take your call. We would be delighted to have it, wouldn't we?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm very excited to have run back and forth to studios. Now we deserve calls.
Yeah. Well, okay. And now here's some other things. Okay. For those tuning into the Vox Pop, after some great work by our wonderful engineering and news team, things are back up and running for the Vox Pop. We are taking new calls, and there you are, 1-800-348-2551. And we're talking state politics, the convening of Congress. Blair Horner's with us, 1-800-348-2551. In the meantime, what is Cuomo up to with free tuition, says Elizabeth? The man is not to be trusted.
Well, we talked about this before. The governor's proposal was sort of joined with Senator Sanders, the darling of the left of the Democratic Party.
And Cuomo has some problems on its left, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
As he gears up for potentially a third term, the last thing in the world he needs is to have to deal with the same kind of problem he had last time around, where it's an attack in the primary process from the left. And I think the governor's made a series of moves, the $15 minimum wage, paid family leave, potentially this proposal, again, we haven't seen it yet in terms of the details, to make college free, public college free, in terms of tuition for families with incomes of $125,000 or less, the kind of tacking to the left that I think he would like to see. The question how he pays for it, of course, has not been addressed at all. And what is the sticker price of this? No one knows yet, or at least they haven't said.
So anyway, we're going to go to Courtney on the phone. Thanks to Stacey Perry Rosenberry and her wonderful crew. They got us back working again. Okay, Courtney, you're on.
Hi. Well, yeah, I live in Newburgh, and I'm a Uber driver. I go up and down the Hudson Valley, and I'm wondering. I don't really understand the insurance issue that the state legislature has been having. I noticed they've been voting.
We can't hear you, Courtney. I'm so sorry. You did address some of this before. Blair, you want to take another shot?
Well, I mean, I always get a little nervous about weighing too far into something that I really haven't studied. My understanding is...
It's never bothered me.
you're a doctor. There's a big difference. As I understand it, the minimum levels of insurance... that are required are not the same for taxi cabs as they are for Uber drivers. I think that's been one of the hangups in terms of what the fight's been over whether or not to allow Uber to expand beyond the city of New York.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that, but we couldn't hear you. And if you can't hear you, what can I tell you? We'll go to Dave in Granville. Okay, Dave, you're on.
Hi, Alan, and hi, guest, New York per guy.
Yeah, New York per guy.
I heard over the weekend that Cuomo actually nixed aid to the public defender system, which is funded by counties in New York State. I understand it was your sister station, WSHU, that actually led with the story Sunday morning because Cuomo spoke Saturday night. And I wonder if you it's very hard to see Cuomo as the next wave of Democratic leader when a lot of what he does seems to be for PR purposes. I mean, free tuition is great, but what are the odds that the legislature is going to approve it? I mean, slim. So it's a win-win for Cuomo. I'm more concerned with what he actually does in the trenches. And it seems to me this underfunding of the public defender system in the state of New York is more of a snapshot of who he is than there's some grandiose public policy statement that stands a slim chance of success. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I'll go first on this. When think about it for a second, doesn't providing middle-class folks with, college tuition for their kids come over legal services? Now, I'm not saying legal services aren't important, very important, but I am thinking that if you're Cuomo and you're trying to figure out where the votes are coming from, there was an old saying that prisoners seldom have alumni associations.
Well, it's not just criminal court, though, Alan. It's family court. There are a lot of people in a lot of trouble now, and they've really stopped looking to government as a source of alleviating their pain.
Okay, we got that. Blair?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly inconsistent at best. On the one hand, to say that you don't have enough money for legal services, and then within hours, basically, unveil a proposal that who knows how many millions of dollars this thing is going to cost, hundreds of millions of dollars, to allow access to public college. Now, the caller's question about what does the legislature do with this, I think, is an interesting question because it's not entirely clear to me that the legislature would reject something like this.
Well, David's point is well taken, but I think that the assembly would certainly go along with.
It's a very difficult legislative environment right now between the legislature and the governor, and so the legislature may want to at least initially show some resistance to this proposal in order to make the governor trade for it. And so now again, it's going to be $155-ish billion budget this coming fiscal year. The comptroller has been making noises about a multi-billion-dollar out-year budget deficit. And so how all of this stuff plays together, I don't know. This is going to be a big cost. The governor is whether or not the governor is serious about this, we'll know when we see the proposal. Because if it's tied to efficiencies, when we were talking about this earlier, for example, of getting rid of the city university system, it's going to cause other kinds of problems. So we'll see what the details are. I think the point is well taken. It's not clear what the legislature will do. Remember, there's about 500,000 college students in the state university and city university systems combined. It's a lot of votes, family members that are involved in this, and a lot of people would benefit from this greatly. So, again, the cost is going to be the issue.
And it's big, it's wide in scope, it's grandiose.
And it'll be popular. Hey, Dave, got to let you go. Thank you. All right, let's go to Jeff, who is in his car. All right, Jeff, you're on. Jeff.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Okay, go.
In regards to Uber, I'm just questioning why New York City, with all of its rules and regulations and outrageously expensive medallions, has allowed it for the New York City residents, when they won't allow it in any other state upstate. I mean, we have to have shouldn't we be allowed to have the same kind of convenience that New York City people have?
That's a very good point. I'm not immersed in the day-to-day details of this particular issue. I think that's the compelling argument as to why you would allow it for the rest of the state, frankly. If the city of New York allows it, why not everywhere else? Now, again, you know, to some extent, it's about these sort of mom-and-pop operations through the urban areas of upstate New York. But I think Jeff's point is a good one, and I think that's the argument, in fact, that Uber makes to the legislature.
Now, we do know that Cuomo is very unpopular in upstate New York. Remember, he Zephyr Teachout cleaned his clock in the primaries outside of New York City.
And Astorino did pretty good, too, upstate.
What'd you say? Yeah, Astorino did pretty good. So no matter what Cuomo tries, now along comes Jeff and asks the question about why is upstate New York being considered a stepchild as opposed to this is something you really give them.
Yeah, and it does help. I mean, for the people who are Uber drivers, obviously, it's a way to make money on the side, and that's part of the appeal. Again, I think this is something that could easily get done. It doesn't seem like there's a vast philosophic difference. It's really about the economic well-being of the companies that currently exist versus a big company coming into town. I mean, it's a global company.
Yeah, but what about the companies that currently exist in New York City? Those companies have a lot more overhead.
Yes.
They have to pay a lot per medallion, thousands, if not tens of thousands.
Can you imagine, Jeff?
You're absolutely right, Jeff.
Can you imagine how many of the guys who scooped up all of those medallions over the years are crying the blues right now?
Think about
what's happened to their value of those medallions.
I mean, amazing.
The bottom line comes down to the customer. And if the customer is not satisfied with the quality of service, then we're being denied as customers, as citizens, as taxpayers, we're being denied the right to choose whether we want a taxi or whether we want an Uber.
Yeah, we get that. But there was one fallacy in what you just said, I think, when you said it. Bottom line, it comes down to the customers. Not if you're in the New York State legislature. It comes down to, who's putting money in your pocket and all the rest of it.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think you're right, Alan.
Okay.
But I think this is one of the issues that ultimately does get addressed, because the issues are, as I mentioned, financial. There's also the issue of safety. I mean, one of the issues that's come up is fingerprinting drivers to make sure they don't have a criminal background record.
But why
and the drivers don't want to do that.
Hasn't that come up in New York City?
It probably has, but after the fact. I mean, once you set something up, you can't roll it back very easily. So again, Jeff, you make a good point. We'll see what happens. But my guess is this gets dealt with this session.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Okay, so let's now go to. We'll go to Martha. Okay, Martha, you're on.
Hello, yes. Yeah, I listening to the roundtable this morning, I was horrified when I heard that the Ethics Committee was trying to weaken the independent ethics overseer. And I just can't believe that they could have thought that they could do something like that with, the reputation that Congress has for corruption. So I immediately called my representative, Elise Stefanik's office, to express, my indignation. And I'm so glad that you brought it to our attention.
Did you get a response from the Stefanik office?
No. I asked the woman I talked to. I said I would like a, reply on, how she votes on the issue. But I guess it's not going to come up for a vote.
Well, now it doesn't look like it, right?
No,
I mean,
they pulled it back. They got chicken. They just got carried away with their own power, I think.
Yeah, the woman I talked to was very noncommittal.
Yeah. Well, that's probably because she didn't know, and it was all in flux at the time.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you very much for your call. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye. We are going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Quality Foreign Car Care, Boston Spa, New York, specializing in European car sales and service for over 20 years. QFCC.com. Gazebo, Northampton, Massachusetts, an independent lingerie shop specializing in bra and post-mastectomy fittings, providing support to the Pioneer Valley for almost 40 years. The-gazebo.com. The Lathrop Communities, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition for over 25 years, independent living in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts, in the heart of the Pioneer Valley, lathrop.kendall.org. Tom McRae, Edward Jones Financial Advisor on University Drive, Amherst, Massachusetts. Member SIPC, Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, edwardjones.com/Tom McRae. And The Whistling Kettle, helping to promote tea culture in the capital region with over 150 teas and menu of sweet and savory selections. TheWhistlingKettle.com for live chat.
Thank you, Zachary. We're back. We are delighted to take your phone calls now. We'll go to Terry in New York. Okay, Terry in New York, you're on. Okay, Terry, go
ahead. Hi, Alan. I just want to make a quick comment on the proposition of free tuition.
Right.
Where does that leave the rest of us who have sacrificed and worked a couple of jobs and paid for our children's tuition and are currently paying school loans? Where's the equity there? Could you please comment?
Okay, Horner of NYPIRG, go ahead.
Well, I mean, you know, that's a very good point. I actually had people, former staff that worked with me, call me and say exactly what the caller is saying, that here I am, I have to pay off my debts. So the question is, though, is what should be the public policy of the state? Right. Is the public policy of the state that future students should incur the same debts as the previous students, or should the state do something about it? So while I certainly appreciate the caller's comments, and that is an issue that should be addressed, the governor does have a fairly narrow program to allow that passed 2 years ago that allows people to get to write down some of their loans that they have outstanding depending on their family income. And maybe that's something should be expanded as well. I think that's a legitimate issue. But the question really is, what's the public policy of the state going forward? And that the governor has answered it by saying it should be free.
Well, look, Mark, things happened before Social Security, you know,
and Medicare, was it fair?
The rest of it. I think you have a point, and I think there ought to be, you know, some consideration of relief for those people who have incurred all of this debt as a result of this. You may remember, Mark, that when Cuomo did this thing with SUNY, where he said if you start a business up on near or on a SUNY campus, you get tax relief for 10 years. How about all the people who don't get tax relief for 10 years, who are living right near there, but who didn't do all of that? You make a very good point.
That's right.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, so now,
We have Mark.
No, that's who I think we were talking to.
Ethics reform deal.
Well, all right, we'll try that. Mark, you're on.
Hi, good afternoon. Hey. I'm calling to ask Blair whether or not he, with the success rate of assemblymen and state senators to get reelected continuously, is ethics reform in Albany dead?
Well, I'm an optimist, so I think I hope the answer is no. The lawmakers, though, must feel pretty emboldened by it. Here they have the most unbelievable scandals, arguably, in New York State history, certainly in modern history, where both legislative leaders get convicted of corruption. They don't do really anything about it, and they all get reelected. No one loses. I don't think they feel that the public cares enough about it that they want to do anything meaningful. And so what we're really left with in terms of what could happen is the U.S. attorney, Preet Bharara, has been reappointed will be reappointed by the president-elect Donald Trump. And if he continues to bang away in Albany, I just have to believe, again, I'm an optimist, I just have to believe that there's a tipping point beyond which even the most hardened, cynical members of New York State government feel like they have to do something meaningful. They've done a lot of half measures. Almost every year they do some sort of loophole-riddled CYA legislation on ethics reform. But at some point, I think I hope they have to do something meaningful. And what the person driving the train on this is the U.S. attorney.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as a cynical member of the public, I really doubt anything is ever going to happen. And I think the best way to decorate the state capitol would be the rapid and crime scene tape.
Well, you know, Mark, the one thing they don't want to do is to limit their outside income. That's really...
Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot for you.
I mean, just to add to that, Alan, I mean, outside income issue is certainly a legitimate issue we support, but that wasn't the problem with the governor's people who got into trouble. To some extent, I guess Prococo was making outside income as running the governor's reelection campaign. But the problem there was really pay-to-play scandal where they were using government contracts as a way to shake down contributors for getting government contracts. So I think it's a much bigger problem. And if Parit Bharara had left the scene, I would have been very pessimistic that anything meaningful will happen. The fact that he's still on the beat means that there could be more actions. Some of these individuals will go to trial. And if they're found guilty, I think it's going to rock the system.
Well, I agree with you, except that we've had people go to the can before.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and
Assembly Speaker,
say,
the Senate Majority Leader.
Things haven't really changed. We'll go to Bob in Albany. All right, Bob in Albany, you're on.
Hi, Alan and Blair. Good to listen to you. Regarding the governor's proposal on making tuition free, I'm just wondering, well, two things. One, was this going to include inmates this time around, which I'd be very much in favor of? He dropped it last time when people yelled about inmates getting anything except bread and water.
Well, we don't know any of the details yet. I mean, the governor made an announcement today, as Alan mentioned earlier. Senator Sanders was part of that rollout. There was a really reasonably detailed story in the New York Times this morning. But again, until you see the bill language, you don't really know for sure. I have not seen that raised. The governor may have said something about it in the Q&A or something after the fact today. I did not see that issue raised. There's also the whole issue of financial aid for students who are undocumented. That's another issue that's come up as well in the legislation. The governor says he supports that. Again, how that all plays out is going to really, I think, turn on the bill language. That was not, to my knowledge, featured in the rollout today.
I worked for many years in inmate education down in New York City, and it was axiomatic that inmates who did well in the college courses were much less likely to be recidivists, assuming they were given any help getting further education and or jobs afterwards. So it would be a really good thing if I cut in.
So, Bob, thinking like Cuomo, which I invite you to do, with your political agenda and everything else, what would you do?
I'd put it in because inmates invariably or almost invariably come from families that make less than $120,000. So I would just make it explicit that they're included in this bill, and what I'd love to see is something that provided grants for community colleges to put courses in prisons on the state and city levels.
Okay, Bob. Thank you very much.
Bob makes a very good point. I mean, the data is sort of overwhelming, and when you think about it, it makes perfect sense. College graduates are less likely to go end up in prison than people who are not in college, right? I mean, so that works even for prisoners.
One more point, if you have a second.
Go ahead. Make it fast because a lot of people lining up. Go ahead.
Sure. The people who are saying, you know, what about me? I have to pay this and that. You can go back in history all you want and find examples of where people, people did better at a given time than others.
Sure.
It's a matter of what is a good state policy, not whether you're able to tie into it on an individual basis.
Okay. Thanks a lot. All right. Now we're going to go to...
Bill, right?
I think so. We'll go to Bill. All right, Bill, thank you very much for waiting.
Yeah, hi. I'm just calling up about the lead a couple of callers ago that called up Representative Stefanik asking about the way she voted on gutting the Ethics Reform Committee.
Yeah, go ahead.
And what she got was kind of a weaselly response. You know, if Representative Stefanik was there in caucus yesterday with the other Republicans, they did vote on that. And, you know, that lady, you know, can't ask, you know, which way Representative Stefanik voted on that, you know, yay or nay. And that's just as good as asking her, you know, if she would have voted on the issue if it had come up in the full House.
Right, you are.
That's right. That's
thanks,
exactly
thanks
right.
Thanks for the call.
So
okay, let's go to Jim in, let's see, North Pownell. All right, Jim, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Hi, Blair. It was a long, long time ago, 1972, that I got out of the Navy. But because of the fact that I was a resident of the state of Connecticut, I got free tuition at Western Connecticut State College, and I got my bachelor's degree in earth science. And all I had to pay for were my student fees and my books. And I think that all of the states should have some sort of a program like that for returning veterans to not have to pay tuition at state colleges.
Makes a lot of sense. Sure. I could say one difference between my experience at Hunter, which was for free because I'm so much older than you, was that the books were also free.
Well, I mean, hey, you got lucky.
It makes perfect sense. You're investing in the future, you know, of your society when you invest in education at all levels. And the 21st century college is part of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, yeah.
And I've always figured, hey, you pay for kindergarten, you pay for elementary school, you pay for high school, and you say we're devoted, even Republicans say it, we're devoted to the equality of opportunity. Well, how can you have equality of opportunity if you can't afford to go to college?
Right. Well, right. Exactly. And you know, in today's economy, you really need a college degree in order to survive, you know, at a reasonable level.
And the governor's proposal does cover community colleges, so even some of the more vocational classes that the community colleges offer, where individuals actually could get don't necessarily have to become get a bachelor's, they could get these sort of technical skills that
sure.
may to be a plumber or electrician or whatever.
Yep.
It's all a worthwhile investment, certainly from our perspective.
Well, my last job was to teach building trades at the Bennington, Vermont Career Development Center. Before I retired, that was my job.
That's good.
And I was teaching kids how to do, you know, framing and roofing and plumbing and electricity, and I had a great time doing it.
Okay, hey, Jim, we got to let you go. We want to try to get everybody in, okay?
Okay, great. Well,
thanks a lot, and good. Thanks for the great call. All right, we'll go to Diane in Albany. All right, number four. Okay, go ahead, Diane. Diane.
Hello, Alan.
Hello, who's this?
This is Sergio. How are you today?
Oh, Sergio, I must have pushed the wrong button. Go ahead. Keep it short, and we'll give everybody a chance.
Sure.
Go ahead.
I appreciate all the efforts by yourself and Mr. Horner to keep the Republicans somewhat honest. Regarding college tuition, everything makes sense. We need education for everyone. I think that the only thing that really is holding back progress on that is that I think that people would be more willing to support that your plan, but I think that they expect some kind of, I don't know, some kind of responsibility on the part of the people that do get free college tuition and some kind of like public service or something in return for what they get. And I think that if there was something like that in the governor's plan, I think that a lot more people would be willing to get on board with that. Thanks again for taking my call.
I like it. Thank you very much. You know, in Israel, everybody goes into the army first before they're eligible to go to college. So that's just the way it is. And so we'll go now to Sue in Pittsfield. Sue in Pittsfield, you're on.
Hello. Good afternoon. I'm not sure if I'm calling on the right subject. If I call, I turned the radio on a little bit later, but I had a question from this morning. I was listening to the roundtable.
Yep.
And I'm really wondering, I turned in right when you were saying that you did not think the president would sign anything to appoint the Democratic Supreme Court justice, and I'm not understanding why.
Oh, you mean that he would not
you
put
said
that... Yeah, he would not put that forward. No, it's just my impression.
Yeah.
I've been around a long time, and I don't think the president is going to go for something that's that far out. It would take a real act of defiance to do it. That's all. Yeah, Blair? You know what we're talking about, right?
Do you think it's a good idea?
Would I like to see it? Sure.
I mean, yeah.
But do I think it's going
to
happen?
To me, that would be better until December. No, I'm wondering if I'm trying to narrow down the things I want to call my representative about, and that's one thing I'm really, concerned about. So I wondered, I wanted your opinion on, you don't think it's a,
I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. Your congressman, of course, is Richie Neal. And,
right.
And a great man, in my opinion. So call him up. See what he says.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
All righty. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
We'll go to Patrick. Yeah, Patrick in, I don't know.
Looks like Rangeville.
He's somewhere. Rangeville, it says. Maybe it's LaGrangeville. Yep. Patrick, are you there?
LaGrangeville.
Yeah.
I'm here, yeah. So my comment was just, I understand the individual who called in before who, has sent his children to school and has, student loans that are needing to be paid back. But it's got to start somewhere, sometime, with somebody. And, so that maybe his grandchildren or, his friends with younger children can have the benefit. I mean, everybody has to stop thinking about poor me, woe is me, and think like it's got to start somewhere for the benefit of society, on a greater level.
That's true. I mean, it does have to start somewhere. And if New York and much of the rest of the country hadn't spent the last 20 to 30 years making college more expensive, then the debts wouldn't be theirs. And that was a result of public policy. It didn't just happen. I'm sympathetic, believe me. On the other hand, you're right. I mean, at some point, if you're going to turn the corner, you got to do it somewhere. And it looks like, hopefully, that the governor's doing it now.
Well, yes, you're right. But wouldn't it also be sort of nice if the governor could figure out a way to deal with college debt?
Yeah, and 2 years ago, the New York State Legislature and the governor approved a deal that sort of deals with a certain subset of people that have debt that are low income, that qualify for federal programs, and that the federal programs cover some of the debt costs. The state is going to make up the difference under this proposal that the governor passed. But I think it should be expanded. I agree. That makes perfect sense.
Thank you, Patrick. Let's go to Irene really quickly in Rosendale. Okay, Irene in Rosendale, home of the Rosendale Cafe.
Well,
go ahead.
I like to call this a word from the front lines from somebody who teaches in community college. And I'm wondering why everyone is assuming that everyone needs to go to college. A lot of these students that come through, first of all, they're not mature. They behave like they're still in high school, disrupting class, and don't seem to have an appreciation for what they're getting. And I don't see that making it free is going to make that any better. I can tell you, it seems to me that many think that now they're out of high school, they have the right to have their cell phone out all during class, they can talk throughout class. And my worst experience was a student, and he had to have some technical skills, but he didn't belong in that school, learn how to turn my projector on and off with his cell phone while I was trying to teach.
As you probably know, we are just about out of time. I want to give Blair a chance to get back at this, and then we have to.
Well, it's certainly the correct thing that there are people who go to college that are immature and misbehave, and that those are the people that ultimately either get their act together, or they flunk out, and it raises the question of the cost. But you still have K-12 where you have people that misbehave, and what do you do about that? The question really is, from a societal point of view, what's the best way to advance our society? And this is, I think, a component of that. But hammer those students
but
if they misbehave.
Maybe be more selective.
Irene, got to let you go. Yeah. And thank you for this very important and interesting call. Okay, 1-800. No, we're out of that. 348-2551. We're done. We left no one on the line, and we apologize to those who were going to get on the line. Support for the Vox Pop comes from the Black Sheep downtown Amherst, the New York-style delicatessen and European-style old butter, scratch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee, blacksheepdeli.com, Coldham and Hartman Architects, serving residential and institutional clients with architecture designed for resilience and renewability, designed for the next 100 years, cnharchitects.com, College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, for over 30 years, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repairs and 24-hour towing. Full-service gas includes checking of fluids, tire pressure, and window washing. CollegeStreetMotors.com. Hitchcock Center for the Environment, Amherst, Massachusetts, celebrating their new living building, a net zero energy, net zero water teaching center for all ages. Tours bi-monthly, HitchcockCenter.org. Thanks for joining us. A big thank you to our wonderful friend Blair Horner. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Louise Butler. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Alan Chartok. And thanks especially to the wonderful crack engineering staff here at WMC for keeping us going.